Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Anything I ask you, you the queen of everything. You know, I got so much to ask. I'm so excited for you. Okay, I'm gonna give it to you 110%. You know, there's a lot of haters out there, but I ain't hating. I'm congratulating, because I want for my sister what I don't have for myself. Girl, you have been on everything, everywhere. Oprah and Gail better watch out. I mean, you are on social media. You've been on LinkedIn. You've been on, weren't you on the Billboard as well?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
You've been on stage. You got your doctorates. And you got to tell me about this, your sorority.
Oh, yes.
You got a new job. Yes. Okay. So COVID has done nothing but infused fire into you.
Yes,
on different levels.
Yes,
well, Brains, that's just a brief introduction. Joy going to tell you the rest. And she's going to tell us how she got that beautiful name, Joy Brown. Here on the edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're going to talk to this amazing woman and just kind of keep up with her and be inspired, you know, because she's not keeping this all to herself. She is really working diligently to get this out to the masses, to other young women in college, maybe at home thinking about college, but she's really trying to inspire them. So let's start at the beginning, Joy Brown. How you get your name? We're going to start with that first.
Okay. How I got my name. So I was named, my mother named me. And so when I was born, she spelled my name J-O-Y-E. But people start calling me Joyce. And my mother was like, I did not put a C in her name. So she changed it and to J-O-I. And so I am the joy to this world. I have this infectious personality, this energy, and I believe I bring joy to this world through my spirit.
Well, you are absolutely right. So tell us a little bit about your humble upbringings with that great mama.
Yeah, so I grew up in a family that instilled in me the I can mantra. See, in my family, we did not say I can't. It was I can and I will. And so when I look at my grandparents, who were served the community. They were committed to their churches. They worked. They gave up their gifts and talents. So that's all I saw growing up, from my grandparents to my mother to my sister. And so I say the Brown family instilled in us a servant in leadership and giving back into the community. And so no wonder that's all I saw grow up. So everything I do is about people. Is about educating, equipping, and empowering people, because that's what I saw growing up. So giving back was something that it was my life. It's in our DNA. That's what we do. So it's never work. It's never like, don't you want to do something else? No.
Right. Being a person of service. I get it, you know. And it's so great to hear one of my guests come on and don't have to start with trauma and tragedy. You know, I had a very loving family. I had a great childhood. I didn't have no kerfuffle. I didn't have no abuse. You know, now they was doing what they was doing, but it didn't impact me. If anything, it encouraged me and motivated me. So now you move beyond the family. You go to college. Tell me about that.
Oh, my college journey. So yes, I have always been one that, again, in looking back at, you know, how my mother and my parents, you know, instilled in me, education has always been important to me. Even when I had teachers pour into me and see something in me, even when I was younger. So as I look back of where I wanted to do, you know, I talked about going to school at my sister's alma mater, which was Hampton University. Always mom, we believe in HBCU. So did I transferred. But God had a different plan for me. And so when I say that I graduated number one, valedictorian, was raised in the church, but then I found myself, you know, 18 and pregnant, and what am I going to do? But guess what? The story does not end there. I had a plan, and it was destined. And so when I say that God knows all things, and having my son, who is 23 right now, graduated from his number one school, VSU, Virginia State University, and I see everything, that journey that I didn't stop. Why? Because I had my family support. And I knew I didn't graduate number one, not to be a statistic, but I am one that if I did it, you can too. So right. I've been that single mother. You know, I graduated on time. I also went back to school to get my master's, and I teach at my alma mater of who made me, which is Bowie State University. Mm. So when I talk about my journey and how over my life, I have just seen the move of God and everything I've been through. Even at that time, it's like, what am I going to do? I still had faith. I still believed in myself. Mm-hmm. And that's when I speak about that greatness is within you. And I am one that want to able to help people tap into their passion and purpose and to their greatness in life.
Right. And there's so many young women out there that are struggling. They think because that they have gotten pregnant, that, you know, the break stopped there. No, now you have more of an incentive because you have a little life, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's babies raising babies, and right. they don't have the support of family like you do.
Right.
And they don't have the resources. What do you say to that young woman that's, you know, knows that the struggle is real?
Oh yeah, the struggle is real. And I would say you have to build your community. Because I do remember, even when I was, you know, a single mother, my grandparents watched my son, you know, when I was at school, and I did, and I'm trying to look at it like, I don't even know how I did all that. I mean, looking back at it, I worked and went to school. And I would say having my son changed the trajectory of my life. Why? Because I had him, I had to get a job. I always had, you know, office work, because I've always done, you know, administrative work. That's a gift. And I got my first job through the Manberry program, which is still exists today, an internship there at the Office of Personnel Management, which is what, Joy? The home and foundation of what? HR. Okay? Walk with me on this journey. So a mother, first job, you know, I remember what my mother said. When you go to job, you know, you be respectful. When you finish something, ask them for something else. I said, yes, mom. And I did all that. But who knew that first internship would take me to where I am today? And so my first internship, I did well. They asked me, you know, Joy, are you interested in coming back on your break? Sure. Because, you know, we all have winter breaks at, you know, on college. I came back. I worked. They said, well, Joy, are you interested in working while you're in school? Sure. Let's do that.
You got to have that can-do attitude.
You have to have that can-do attitude.
You got to be hungry, girl. You got to be hungry.
Yes. And that propelled me. So when I graduated, I was on a track and a path that every year I was promoted because I what showed up well, did well, loved what I was doing. So it's all about in your show up. So the things that my mother taught me, my grandparents, I learned in school, my skill sets, I was able to utilize them. But then I also had some mentors. That I didn't know they were mentors at the time, but they saw something in me. They even saw something in me before I even went to Bowie State. So when I look back and say, hey, Joe, are you interested in doing career development training? Sure. Always knew I had this mouth, this gift, that my voice and my speaking, because I wanted to be a talk show host when I was young. I was that's really what I wanted to do. I had my little microphone.
Well, it's not too late, honey.
I know it's not. And look, I was one. Yes, I did that. So when I talk about that, but every year since then, and you talk about the journey, having my son and everything that I did, and also even at Bowie, I was in school and he was right there. So my teachers know when I was in school, that boy was right there. So he has seen his mother never stop. He has seen his mother, no matter what, continue to go expose him, just like my parents exposed him. It wasn't no, we can't figure this out. Oh, we found the way.
Did he have a relationship with his father?
He did not. Not what I desire to be. His father, you know, wasn't really active in his life.
And so how was it as you, a woman, raising a young man? I know you had mentors and father as other, you know, role models, your father, maybe grandfather, uncles, whatever. But the V2V, you and him, you know, it's hard for a woman to try to raise a man in today's environment, a young black man. Mm-hmm. Dodging the bullet of the police and the drug dealers and the guns, keeping mm-hmm. him motivated, keeping him on that straight track to education. What was your secret sauce to success?
So my secret sauce was success, again, I built my community. Again, I put him in male programs, such as the stuff we had, the rites of passage at church, where he had a mentor. I had, again, informal mentors that I knew were family friends that could teach him things that I could not teach him. And again, that helped. Again, when he went to school, again, looking at those mentorships, those programs, put him in Boy Scout. So I was one, because again, like you said, especially now, I can't teach him to be a black man, but I had people around me that I could call on that would help fill that gap. And I will say, with his father, luckily that God put a woman in his life. That when I said, oh, my son is doing the step, because he loved to step, and he was doing this at Boy Scout, I had that connection with her. And when she was there, guess what? Daddy was with him right there too.
Girl, and that's so what I say too. Of her, right.
That he did not miss out on those major milestones.
Right.
And so I want to encourage the women that it's not, if you could ask with that other woman in your life, because you want somebody who is going to be about you and your child.
That's right. And one woman's trash is another woman's treasure.
Yes.
Right? And you know, we have a blended family too. And I was just talking to her last night. I couldn't get off the phone. She wanted to go on a trip with me. It's my son's, I call him my son. Ain't no step in between us.
Right. But,
you know, it takes a while to put on your big girl panties. It takes a while to get that maturity, because you're always thinking that somebody is out to get you. Right. But, you know, you can't do that. And we need to do that. That was for the betterment of your son.
Yes.
And your son has another woman that he can rely on, another woman that's in his father's ear that helped build the relationship. So bravo. Another
family. Yes. And he wins in the end. It is really about me. He has a brother and a sister. He has all this extended family that he is still very close to this day.
That's beautiful. So tell me about, now do I have it right?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Explain that to me, because, you know, I went to college. But I went to college, I was doing other things. I was trying to get in and get out. I wasn't trying to do all of that. That's like church. I'm great. I get my offering. You want me to do something? I give you 8 hours of volunteer time. I'm in, I'm out. I'm doing other stuff. What is the sisterhood of a sorority? I can only imagine. I see it on TV all the time, and I see y'all be stepping and you got all this going on. But there is a love and a camaraderie there that, you know, it cuts deep. Tell me a little bit about that. And your
It does cut deep. And again, me and my sister were 12 years apart, but we're very, very close. And so my sister is a member of the same sorority. And so I didn't really understand what it was until I got in. Because we share, you know, we're actually blood sisters and we're actually sorors, but it is truly one, again, it's about service. So again, I told you, I grew up being involved in the community. So again, when I decided to express interest in the sorority, I served. And so giving back to the community. And so the sisterhood, which is important with the scholarship service, is so important. And it is one that I may not know you, I may meet you one time, but it's something when I say, hey, Soro, and we are just instantly bonded. Instantly bonded.
I got a little afraid too, because there was a horrible, horrible induction that happened here in San Diego, California, where the young women were doing their introduction week or induction week, and they walked these girls out to the ocean blindfolded, and one drowned because she couldn't swim. So there was a lot in the news about hazing and sororities and things of that nature. In addition to that, safety. Can you speak to safety? Because I go right past here to SDSU, And baby, it's a smorgasbord of sexual indiscretion. You know, sometimes these girls get out, this is the first time they can get loose. They got all this hanging out. They got on flip-flops and it's raining. They're going to these frat parties. People was putting these roofies in their drink. They're drinking excessively. Can you talk to the security and the safety of this sisterhood, of these fraternities and these sororities for these young people?
Well, I can only just speak about, again, that there are policies and procedures. And again, there is a no hazing policy. And so, again, you just have to be mindful of your surroundings anywhere you go, period. And again, that you just have to be mindful. There are policies and rules in place and that govern all of the fraternities and sororities. And again, but
how does that work though? I mean, do you have like a mother of the sorority house, you know, or do you have a panel? Do you have a board? I don't know how that structure.
Oh yeah, so there is leadership within the sorority, right? Okay. There's leadership even on college campuses. No, just like any other organization.
Okay.
Just well, that's like any good. Other organization that you have, there is leadership and there are protocols and again, there are rules and regulations that govern that body, just like any other association.
Well, that's good. And you know, young women, I encourage you to really look into that and be careful. Learn some self-defense, learn your tolerance, your limits, connect with people, you know, go with another sister when you're going somewhere. Don't travel alone. It's a lot of responsibility to being out in college on your own. You think that you're free, but you got some responsibility besides getting those grades. Those are life skills.
Life skills.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about your nail tech. You got your nails done today. Let me see it.
I always have my nails done. Yes.
Yes, you do, baby. Let me tell you, give her an extra tip for me and I'll send it to you. She is out of sight. I look at those nails. How long you be sitting there?
Oh, just an hour. He does it an hour. And it's funny, but my nail tech has seen me and my son grow up. He has done like all my major milestones in my life. Wow. From prom to weddings to divorces. He has done them all. My son was 4. My son is 23 now. Wow. He has seen my son grow up. So yes, that's my way I express myself.
because you make a statement. Because I look and I was like, wow. And I mean, such artistry. Such
right.
But yeah. You take great pride in your look, in your speech. You got a $1 million smile, and all of that led you to an honorary doctorate. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I tell people that's a testimony, and I say, but God. I say, but God, because in 6 months on my birthday, I coined this year my birthday being the season of greater. And my pastor told me that the chapter 42 of his life was one of the greatest, you know, years of his life. So much open. And when he told me that, I said, okay, I'm going to name this the season of greater. But I'm big on affirmations. I'm big on vision. And so I spoke it. I believed it. And I watched the hand of God just open doors. That is mind blowing. So in this 6 months, I was a talk show host. So again, that childhood dream brought that to fruition. Again, I've been able to speak on a lot of different platforms and being able to be featured on billboards and magazines and have my message that it empower. And I speak about places and things that I've experienced and been. And so that's why I'm really about educating, equipping, and empowering. And then to top it off, I got my dream job. So my headline story was HR intern to HR director. Won't God do it? And so when I thought I was great with that, God said, no, baby girl, I got one more. Mm-hmm. So I talked about, okay, well, you know, I got my master's, love teaching and all of this. And, you know, my dean was like, but Joe, when you going to do your doctorate and this? I said, y'all know, I got the job. So I said, well, Lord, I'm either going to be an SES, which is a senior executive in the government, or a doctorate, which one? And then I was, you know, applying for deputy jobs. And God said, no. See, a deputy means you have to report to somebody. God showed me, I need you the head, because there is something that you are going to do and I'm going to use you to impact this world. And I need you to do it. And I need you at the throne, at the head of the line. Mm. And I said, I received that. But in that same when I got the job, I got selected and recommended for an honorary doctorate. So you talk about a single mother. That even though I always knew I was greater, and even though on my journey, when people did not see me, talked about me, didn't believe in me, didn't want to give me an opportunity, I kept believing and kept pressing forward, but God. And then to top it off for this honor that I did not expect, but God, I am so humbled and grateful. And the honorary doctor is for dedicating a life of community service and empowering people. Wow. When I saw the diploma and the plaque, I said, but God, because that's everything that I am. Right. That's everything that I've been doing in my life. That's my legacy right there.
Well, I'm telling you, it is another feather in your cap, because I was like, well, look at that. But God, I was so happy for you. I was so happy for you. Continue to shine, sister. Tell my brains about what you have up and coming, how they might be able to get in contact with you, Joy Brown.
So yeah, so up and coming, I have some master classes, because again, I want to help everybody be prepared and positioned for what's next. And so I will be launching my prepared and positioned master class. I will also be doing some let's chat on talks about career and career opportunities, because again, we are going to be hiring, and I want us to make sure that we have the skill sets that are needed to again change our lives. And so you can connect with me on Facebook and Instagram under 3, followed by 3 E's, E-E-E-E consulting, again on Instagram and Facebook. And I'm on again Facebook under Joy Brown. Thank you all so much.
Well, you are really the toast of the town. I'm so glad to have you here on the Edge. Brains, I need you to go in and check out 3E Consultant. If nothing else, to watch some of her videos, to get some of this inspiration, to get lit by the fire, because I want you to rage. I want you to rage out of control. I want you to know that there is infinite possibilities if you allow yourself, if you are not afraid. We all walk by faith and not by sight, especially in these turbulent times that we live in. But there's great people, great women right there. I got my finger wrong. Like Joy Brown, that you will be seeing and hearing from. She is a force. And so thank you so much for being here on The Edge. I need you to go like, love, subscribe, and share this inspiration. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations, because we got them for you. We doing it over time. Thank you so much, Joy. You are a joy.
Oh, thank you so much, April. I appreciate being here.
All right. Bye, brains.